last-ditch effort to save his faltering premiership, Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan has called for the National Assembly to be dissolved, foiling an attempt by the opposition to remove him from office. Imran Khan, he came to power 4 years ago in an atmosphere of euphoria with slogans of welfare state and ending corruption, but he's turned out actually rather similar to his predecessors. All of this takes place as economic indicators such as inflation continue to go through the roof and life for the average general Pakistani is getting a lot worse. Now, we've got Adnan Khan here, the founder of Geopolity, to discuss with us about Pakistan and what's next for Imran Khan. How are you keeping, Adnan?
I'm good, Yusuf. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, things were going so well for Imran Khan a few years ago, but now we find that his popularity is really in decline. How have we got to this position we are in today?
So, Yusuf, the position Imran Khan finds himself in, it's completely in line with Pakistan's history. It's not at odds with Pakistan's history. No prime minister in the history of Pakistan has ever completed their term. In fact, only one government in Pakistan's history has ever completed their term, which was back in 2013. So the position Imran Khan finds himself in, it's actually quite normal in the grand scheme of Pakistan's history. It doesn't actually go against it. Now, if you take your mind back, Imran Khan, he ran a campaign back in 2018 on ending corruption, dealing with the endemic corruption in Pakistan, and fixing the economy. These were the usual populist slogans being thrown around by all populist leaders at the time. But really what's happened since then is inflation has got far worse. Inflation was actually bad even before COVID in the first year, actually, when he took up government, but it's got far worse. And in a country where many rely on a daily wage, double-digit inflation, you know, it's a big killer. Also, Imran Khan faced numerous economic issues during this time, a current account deficit, falling currency reserves, poverty on the increase. And he always pointed that the problems, the cause of the problems, were always elsewhere. So the macro picture has always been bad during Imran Khan's 4 years in office, despite the odd successful micro achievement. So Imran Khan and his supporters will talk about the healthcare plan they had, the fact that they've issued a healthcare ID so everybody gets access to healthcare. But all of that is really at odds with the macro picture where all the indicators are really, really bad. So in the end, really, Imran Khan turned out to be rather similar to all his predecessors. Predecessors who he's criticized, who he said are looting the country, who he said are corrupt. In terms of actual competency, he's actually turned out to be rather mediocre, just like them. And in the end, probably the worst omen for him was the fact that he fell out with the army over the appointment of the head of the ISI, the spy chief. So all of these, when you put them together, what you find is this is how Imran Khan, who started off with a lot of hope in his innings, and now he's got to the point where he's really fallen from grace in the people's eyes.
Adnan, you mentioned these economic problems that Imran Khan's facing. Now, isn't it a little bit unfair to blame these economic problems on Imran Khan and how he's managed the country? Because a lot of the world is facing the same thing, especially with COVID-19.
Okay, Yusuf, so that's a common claim Imran Khan makes, his political party, the PTI, make. In fact, in the last week or so, Imran Khan has come out fighting and tried to show his track record. Now, yes, COVID did make the situation bad, and that's the case for most of the world. However, in the case of Pakistan, what COVID did is it exacerbated an already problematic situation, especially the economic situation. And just to show you, if you take poverty in Pakistan, 75% of Pakistan's population earn less than $5 a day. That was the case before Imran Khan came into power. It remained the case when he was in power. It remained the case during COVID. And the reason why poverty is so high in Pakistan is you have a services sector, which is about 60% of Pakistan's GDP, but 40% of the labor force, they work in agriculture. So the largest sector of Pakistan's economy has the smallest amount of labour force working in that area. So as a result, poverty is really high in Pakistan, and that was already there. So Imran Khan came into power promising he's going to fix poverty and he's going to create a welfare state. So the problems he's facing in this area have got nothing to do with COVID. They were already there and he's not really addressed them. If we look at debt, Imran Khan now has the record of taking the most amount of debt during term in office. He's nearly doubled the debt, really. It was about just over 30 billion, the external debt. Now it's up to 60 to 70 billion. So rather than fixing the economy, what he's actually done is taken on more debt. And remember, debt has to be repaid, and 30 to 35% of Pakistan's budget expenditure is on debt servicing. So as he's taken out more debt, more of the budget will be taken up. So these are actions which are not linked to COVID. These are actions that he's actually done. Inflation has probably been the worst problem. In Pakistan, inflation was actually single digits before Imran Khan came to power. When he came to power, inflation went to double digits. It was 12, 13%. It fell slightly with COVID, and now it's back into double digits. So under Imran Khan, inflation has been far worse under his regime than in previous regimes. And inflation is the killer in Pakistan. In a country where most people live in poverty, rising food prices literally kills people. And then the other thing really Imran Khan hasn't dealt with, which he said he would, was the economic setup in Pakistan. He talks about a Medina state, a welfare state, ending corruption and raising taxes. And he's not dealt with any of the issues. So the fact that most of Pakistan's GDP and wealth comes from sectors that most people don't work in, he's not really addressed. The fact that Pakistan's industry has a lack of technology or lack of heavy industry, and it exports mainly cotton. He hasn't done anything to actually address that. So a lot of the problems he's facing and the crisis he's in now, they're of his own making. He made grand promises, like all populists do, but he's actually failed to deliver. So the problems he's facing aren't actually COVID-related. They were actually there before. COVID just exacerbated them.
Yeah, I do remember all those promises that he made. He had a lot of fighting talk in him. He was talking about changing the system, about the corruption. Why did he fail to make any progress on these?
Well, I think there's a couple of issues there. One of them is how serious was he really about this? We've got to keep in mind, Imran Khan came to power at a time where populists across the world were coming to power. So in America, you had Trump. You had in Hungary, in Brazil, in India, across the world, you saw populist leaders who were all coming to power. And Imran Khan, he rode that wave as well. So there was always a question mark on these slogans. Does he actually plan to deliver on them, or is it just to get him into power? And now we know. Now we know that everything he hasn't delivered on is somebody else's fault. Or he does what's called U-turns, and he admitted himself doing U-turn is a sign of a good leader. Maybe in his bubble it is, but in any other place, doing a U-turn isn't good. The other problem you've really got is Pakistan has an entrenched system with the military top brass sitting at the top. And really, even if Imran Khan had any grand plans to make structural changes, it would have been impossible unless he took on the army, and he never did that. He never planned to do that. And even when he did fall out with the army in the end, it was over the appointment of a spy chief, which basically is one of the main factors of his downfall. So like all populist leaders, Imran Khan offered the world and he didn't deliver on any. And most populists don't plan to deliver on much of what they say anyway. That's what the whole idea of populism is. You tell the people what they want to hear only to get into power. And that's why we're in the sorry scenario today where Imran Khan is struggling for survival.
The army does seem to be very quiet on the issue at the moment. What's their position on this?
So the military top brass, they are watching this drama play out. And there's a couple of issues when they look at this drama. But the important thing to bear in mind is the army played a very important role to get Imran Khan into power. Imran Khan was really in the political wilderness for decades. In the end, many of the establishment figures, they joined him. And also you find that he carried out many, many demonstrations in the capital city, which is unheard of. Imran Khan came to power at a time when many people in Pakistan were losing confidence in the system. The years of Nawaz Sharif and Zardari had really made things worse. Imran Khan, who's from a cricketing background, he's not a politician, he's not from a political family or political dynasty. So really, the army took a backseat and Imran Khan was in power. Now, I think the important thing for the army is the drama that's playing out now with the opposition, Imran Khan. It is very clear Imran Khan needs to go because he's mismanaged the economy, and you've got an opposition who can come into power. All of this ensures there's no discussion about real change in Pakistan. There's no discussion of uprooting the existing system which the army sits upon. So for the army, this works out quite well. They are not in the firing line. The faces will change from one set of one leader to another. So their position remains entrenched, and questions are never raised about the army's role. In fact, people see the army as a savior of Pakistan. So they've been pretty quiet because for them, this is a pretty orderly transition. As unstable as it looks, this is usually how transitions happen in Pakistan. So for them, this plays out quite well. They're seeing a transition happen. It's from one failed leader to another set of leaders. So the army's position, it remains entrenched in the country, and that serves them well.
Now, this opposition, can you tell us a bit more about them? Who are they? What's their plan?
So the opposition are all the same characters of the movie we've been watching for the last few decades. You've got the Sharif family led by Shabazz Sharif and his son. You've got Maryam Nawaz, who's Nawaz Sharif's daughter. You've then got Bilawal Zardari Bhutto from the Bhutto dynasty. You've got his father, Asif Ali Zardari. You've got Maulana Fazlur Rahman, who's been around forever. So it's all the usual characters, all the usual faces again. So these people obviously were all chucked out of power with Nawaz Sharif. And what they did was they bided their time. And when they saw public mood was shifting against Imran Khan, they took advantage of that and connected with the people's sentiments. And since then, 2020, they've been doing loads of demonstrations and calling out Imran Khan for his economic mismanagement. But again, it's all the same people. It's all the same faces again. So one of their main claim is that the 2018 election was rigged. The army rigged the election, and that's why Imran Khan won and became prime minister. And Imran Khan has been unable to really get rid of that opinion. It's still there. People still actually believe it. And that's why what you're seeing now is Imran Khan's talking about a foreign plot to overthrow him, because that's all he can argue now. His grand speeches, they've all gone now because people have seen the reality of his leadership. So the opposition, really, it's the same old guys. They've been around for the last two or three decades. They're no new people as such. It's the same old figure, same old characters in the movie all over again.
This foreign plot that you mentioned, is there any truth to that, or is he just trying to save face?
So there's no foreign plot. There's a domestic plot, and the plotters are there in front of him. It's Shabazz Sharif. It's Bilawal Zardari Bhutto. It's Fazlur Rahman. There's no secret plot here. The opposition who are trying to overthrow him, they are very open what they're doing. They're going on daytime TV. They're having massive demonstrations. They're not hiding. That's the plot that's actually going on in front of him. And the thing is, he can't really counter that plot now, because what they're saying is true. Although they're doing it for their own opportunist purposes, what they're saying about his economic mismanagement is actually true. So what he's tried to do, Imran Khan, is deflect by talking about a foreign plot. He gave a long speech where he was he's fighting for his life effectively. And he let slip that it was America that in a letter wrote that it wants to remove him. That's very interesting, because just the end of last month, March, Pakistan's Navy did military drills with America's Navy. So that's not exactly a relationship that you would expect if someone's trying to do a plot against you. Just a couple of weeks ago, Imran Khan's foreign minister, Shah Masood Qureshi, he's in talks and tweeting about how America and Pakistan's relationship is strong, how they're talking about strategic issues and things like that. So you can clearly see what Imran Khan's saying is actually going against even what his own party are doing. So there's no foreign plot here. What he's trying to do is try and feed into the conspiracy theories, which seem to have a lot of legs in Pakistan. So he's trying to tap into that at the moment. But if the best argument you got against domestic plotters is there's a foreign plot, and you're the prime minister, and that's the best you can serve, it really shows you the weak position he's in.
Ultimately, all of this is about the future of Pakistan and the people of Pakistan. Will things actually be better with Imran Khan gone? Do you see the opposition doing any better than Imran Khan? How do you see things playing out here?
So no, I think things will only get worse. These opposition members who are going to come into power, they've been in power before. They ran the country into the ground. They indebted the country, they plundered the country. So judging by history, they're not going to do anything different. Nawaz Sharif and his family have been in power on three occasions. They've been in power in the 90s. They've been in power after 2010. They've done the same. So nothing's going to change. In fact, what these guys are, they're opportunists. Sensing that Imran Khan is struggling, they jumped on it in order to remove him and get to power. They have not thought what they plan to do the day after. There's no strategy or plan to deal with poverty, debt, inflation, which are killing people literally. So really what will happen, there'll be a honeymoon period for a short period, and then the same problems will come up again. In fact, Pakistan's debt repayments are going to be due, and they're going to have to make some very difficult decisions. Do you spend on Pakistan or do you spend on repaying the debt? So getting rid of Imran Khan isn't actually going to change anything, unfortunately. And fundamentally, the underlying system where the state doesn't actually represent the people, the state represents the short and narrow interests of the elite, be they a political dynasty or a business class family. Everyone wants to get into power in order to plunder the state. And these opposition members, that's what they plan to do. Imran Khan got in, they lost out, and now they're removing Imran Khan, and they want the benefits of being the leader of the state so they can plunder it for themselves. So the fact that they have no solutions, all they keep saying is Imran Khan's bad, shows you there's no actual plan. And likely chance is they will all turn on each other afterwards as well. Once Imran Khan's out of the way, there'll be fight for positions, for departments, for money, and then they will turn on each other. So Pakistan's politics is set to get even more unstable. So the situation for your average Pakistani is not going to change. It's probably going to get worse, unfortunately.
Thank you for your time today, Adnan. Now, to the audience, if you want to learn more about this issue or any other issues that you see on the news, you can check out our website. The website is www.thegeopolitics.com. Thank you for listening.